Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're now on Red Circle instead of Podbean. So no more Podbean. We're on Red Circle, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Also, we know that some people had difficulties getting the last episode, so make sure you catch the re-release of that episode, which we called Did They Fail Jimmy Butler? Which is as ridiculous as it sounds, but we cover it in that episode. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. The Extra Yard with Alex Dono and Troy Stradford on the Dolphins premiered on Tuesday. It's going to be on every Monday. Also, catch Pulse of Fins Nation. Final Yard, Yard Prep, all the stuff that we do on the Dolphins coming up on their opener against New England this Sunday. Also, fivereasonsports.com. We're going to be talking about that a lot today. We do not have a paywall. That's for all of your articles on South Florida teams. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This is the week, everybody. Prize Picks. Go use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Was checking out the board today. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. You like Derrick Henry over 99.5 yards in the opener? I'm not so sure. I would take a look at that Tyreek Hill number, though. That one is very, very tempting. I think he's going to go over that fairly easily. Go to Prize Picks, use the code 5, F-I-V-E, get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You can download it from the Google Play Store or the App Store, or again, prizepicks.com. But the key thing, the code for our official fantasy sponsor, F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. We got everybody here tonight. Here's the floor plan. You can follow. I'll go with him first today because we'll be talking about his article. Brady Hawk at Brady Hawk 305, Alex Toledo at Tropical Blanket, and Greg Sylvander at Greg Sylvander. We're going to get away from trade talk today when it comes to Tyler Hero. We're actually going to talk a little bit of basketball because he is still a member of the Miami Heat. He's coming off a sixth man of the year season, a breakout season in a lot of different ways. The way that the playoffs went has kind of colored everything else in addition to the talk about the extension, which we're still waiting on, the possibility of him being traded, and all of the other stuff that surrounds him. He was a pretty damn good basketball player last year. And so I think what we need to talk about tonight, and it's going to be Brady's article. You can find it on fivereasonsports.com. Spell that one out, as I mentioned. But just the areas of improvement. Because there is a perception, for whatever reason, and it's kind of odd, considering that the Heat are considered to be a developmental organization, that there's always this perception with Heat players that they can't get better, like that there are skills that they can't develop. They are maxed out as players. What they are is what we're always going to see. And it's just kind of ludicrous when you think about two guys in Bam and Hero who were drafted 13th and 14th or 14th and 13th respectively and how far they've come. The idea that that's all they can ever be, again, seems like defeatist Heat fan talk. But so we're going to get to Brady today. There's a whole bunch of things that you think he can use to upgrade. So I'm going to go through some of them and I want you to cover them individually. But just in general, if I was to say to you one thing that you talked about getting to the rim, you talked about ISO, you talked about catch and shoot situations, pull up situations. We're talking about offense here because we all know that the defense, that may have a ceiling. And obviously that does need to get closer to whatever its ceiling is. If I was to say to you, there's one thing that would make this Heat team more dynamic this year, particularly with Tyler as a starter, which of those areas of development would you choose?
I would personally lean toward the rim attempts because when you look at the playoffs and you look at the things he did in the regular season, I just feel like that's the whole idea here is to find something to translate in between both. Like, you can develop something in the regular season that's just so clearly not going to translate to the playoffs, and kind of what is it happening for? The rim attempts thing, I think, is legit. Like, I was looking at some of the numbers where in the regular season, he was averaging about 12 drives a game and getting around six attempts out of it. And basically, I said they sliced in half in the playoffs. So he went down to 6.8 drives a game on 3.6 attempts. And I think from an eye test perspective, I think we can all agree that that's pretty accurate, because I'm thinking about the Tyler Hero of the regular season as a driver. And I'm thinking about the wild scoop layups off the backboard and the baby float that they were calling it throughout the season. And then I think about the playoffs where, for one thing, in the half court defense, they're going to push things inside anyway. Like, they're going to change your way you want to play anyway. But they basically did not let him get to the rim. Like, they closed everything off. We could talk about him in each series, them overplaying him in some ways, but they were very good at helping, which could be at times like a PJ Tucker that left, helping off a PJ Tucker in the corner, helping off a Caleb Martin in the corner, because they made it clear they didn't want him getting to the rim, because Tyler Hero is a kind of a player that once he gets a couple to drop, he's deadly. Like, he's just one of those type of players that builds off confidence. And a couple of those easy ones around the rim, once you get a little momentum, then all of a sudden the pull-ups are coming and the catch shoot stuff starts coming, and you can't really stop it from that point. So I think the first level is the most important. But like you kind of teed this up with, I just feel like the kind of the trade talks are always going to fog the memories of certain players. And Tyler Hero is always going to be the headliner of these trades, which we can all agree on sometimes is necessary, because we talked about certain upgrades that are necessary. But that doesn't mean, just because you're putting him as a headliner of a trade or wanting to move him, that you're going to throw away everything that we know about the player and we're just going to just downgrade everything that we already know. It's one thing to say he needs to prove on this, this, and this, because we saw what happened in the playoffs, but saying that they can't do something with him as this type of scorer because of he's not Donovan Mitchell, that's like a completely different conversation. But to answer your question, I think rim attempts is just really important for this specific Heat offense.
Well, Alex, we've talked about rim pressure a lot, and I think it's been in the context of, well, it's always about Jimmy, and then it's about Bam and his general aggressiveness. And then we've mixed in the Oladipo conversation here, because I think that that's where the Heat think this needs to go in terms of Victor giving them that element. But we don't really talk about it in terms of Tyler as much, because he came in the league, he was a shooter. And, you know, his perception, he was a three-point shooter. And then we kind of figured out, okay, he's more than just a three-point shooter. And then he started to develop the mid-range game. And then, like Brady said, a lot of this stuff just kind of stopped in the playoffs. So would you agree there that that's the most important thing, is the rim pressure?
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with, although it's not the only important thing. And Brady did a great job going over all the things that, you know, I think – he can get better at marginally. But as far as getting to the rim more, they're going to need him to be aggressive there. Like, I think his shot diet is very, very perimeter oriented. When you look at his attempts for 75, he is at 7.7 and 7.6 respectively for mid-range attempts and three-point attempts. And at the rim, it's 4.1. So it obviously is very perimeter heavy there. It leans that way. And I just think, outside of that, they need more guys who can actually get into the paint and make things easier on others. Like, it can't just be Jimmy, like you were talking about. And I think Kyle is not one who is going to be ready to, you know, do that at a consistent rate. Like, you know, Kyle might have big scoring games in the playoffs here and there, but he is not one to do that consistently. So I just think Tyler, that's the obvious place for him to get better. I think he's got to, you know, we've talked about the strength and him gaining weight and all that. It looks like that's going to happen. So if he actually does put on like 15 pounds of muscle, I think that'd be great for him. Like, I think it'd be really great for him as far as being able to absorb contact, being able to get to the rim more often, being able to actually like deal with complex coverages in the playoffs. Like what happened to him this past playoff run, where kind of guys got really, really physical with him and dug into him and ran him off the line. And he wasn't able to kind of push back. Like, he wasn't able to absorb that impact and push back. I don't think he's able to get leverage to get to his spots when he's run off the line like that by really good defenders, like he was with DeLon Wright in the first round. I think the Sixers were sending multiple guys at him. The Celtics just have a bunch of elite defenders. So I think the counter has to be Tyler getting stronger and becoming more of a player who is a threat to get to the rim.
Greg, a lot of this is perception versus reality, right? So I don't know necessarily that Heat fans are expecting Tyler Hero to be not just getting a steady diet of that kind of stuff, but also getting the peripheral stuff that comes with it, which is the respect from officials that he's going to be able to get to the line in a lot of those situations and create easier offense. Because every time I've talked to anybody with the Heat this offseason about what their real needs are, they don't talk about positions. Like Heat fans are talking about this in terms of we need a power forward and we need this. And of course the Heat recognize that in a perfect world, they would have a power forward. Okay.
But it's kind of like just a big human that can defend.
Right. Right. Just somebody. Okay. Just, yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. Just somebody in there who can do that kind of stuff. Okay. But they are talking more about something we've talked about a lot here, which is, we just need to get better on offense. Like we need to create easier opportunities for people. And you look at the burden when Jimmy scores 45 in those playoff games, it's a hard 45. Like it's not, you know, it's not like a Steph Curry 45, right? Like it is, no. He is working for all of that to get to his spots, to identify the right mismatch to, you know, and again, sometimes to add on the third point at the line, right? I guess the question is, can Tyler with the rim stuff, can he create more of those easy points, whether it's at the rim himself or whether it's at the line?
So let's make a mental note of this one thing. Who made it more difficult on themselves in playoff games, Jimmy Butler or Dwayne Wade? Who did it look harder for them to make it through? Because I feel like Jimmy actually probably is that guy. Dwayne got more of like the just, I'm an elite athlete buckets than Jimmy ever gets, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think that there's a history of Heat players who've been scorers that it hasn't looked easy for. We've talked about Zoe.
That's,
I think,
true.
Zoe,
that's true.
I think Zoe and Jimmy are similar in that regard, that it was, you know, LeBron, it looked easy, right?
It did.
Dwayne, unless the knee was gimpy, it looked easy. Even for Chris Bosh, scoring was easy. Like, right? I mean, we never said, well, Chris can't find a way to score. I mean, even the game he was scoreless in the finals, everybody brings that up. But it was more a product of role and touches and that kind of stuff. It wasn't a product of Chris not having a skill set to do it. But Tyler, again, has that skill set. I just don't know if Tyler's going to get the respect.
I'm not
talking about from fans, because we already know he doesn't get that. But I'm just talking about from officials.
No, that's a really key point, because there's a pedigree involved in becoming an NBA star and a player that is not just on scouting reports, but is like in the mainstream. The way you referee that player gets talked about, like that's the kind of maturation of a player like Tyler. He is a scorer, a professional scorer. So that has to be eventually where it goes, right? And I thought Brady, like, listen, if you are not going to read anything else, if you're listening to this show and you're not going to read anything else the rest of this week, go to 5reasonsports.com. You have to spell that all out and read this Tyler Hero column by Brady Hawk. It got me so hyped by the end of it that I tweeted back to him that Tyler Hero will have a better season next year than Donovan Mitchell, playoffs included. Like, that's how hyped I was when I read this, because of all the things that Brady touches on that I think are perfectly realistic to expect that Tyler can show this incremental growth, because that's what he's done year over year anyway. And so, like, these guys were so good, Ethan, in drawing up this whole show and being extremely articulate. I'll get to the nitty gritty much faster. When that Atlanta Blitz shit comes, we don't want deer in headlights. Like, we want more of that swagger Tyler with that kind of confidence, because a lot of what he does to me, it transcends some of the X's and O's and the fact that he's not the same athletic player or that he doesn't have the same wingspan. When he gets in a groove and he's feeling himself, dudes just can't cover him. So it's like, how do you get to that space, whether it's mentally or physically in the playoffs with heightened stakes? Like, that's what we want to see. So like, when Atlanta comes with the blitz, show up. Like, I think, and that's where that layer, that initial introductory layer, the barriers that Brady wrote about, him getting to the rim is going to be a big part of figuring out that whole dynamic.
All right, let's get through some of the other things in the article. We've talked a little bit about getting to the basket, but there's a bunch of other stuff that Brady covered in the piece. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Our friend Mark Brown, big Miami Heat fan, see him at the games all the time in Section 106. But also, he does great work, and he's done a lot of work for me, and so I can attest to this personally. If you need an estate plan, which you do, no matter who you are, reach out to Mark. He'll get you all the forms. He'll go through it with you. It's simple. It's not expensive. Make sure that your money goes to the person or the people that it should go to if something should happen to you. Also, he can handle your closing, okay? We know real estate market is complicated, starting to come down here a little bit. People aren't just getting 65 offers for their houses. When you get a sale, you actually want to get the closing done without delay, make sure that the money gets funded, all that stuff. Mark can do that for you. So reach out to Mark Brown. He's got a title company right there in-house in his law firm, markbrownpa.com, markbrownpa.com. It's 954-566-5678, 954-566-5678, based in North Broward, just north of Cypress off of Andrews. Also want to tell you about our CBD sponsor. It's Therapist Preferred. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. Get 25% off the tincture, the sports cream, the gummies for recovery, for sleep. It's great stuff. They get a ton of orders from our listeners. There's a reason for it. Go to therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN for 25% off.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen. On sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards. All right, let's get to this next piece here. Because we talk about on the ball. Let's close out the on the ball conversation here. Okay. So we talk about rim pressure. But the other thing that Tyler's been kind of known for is the pull up, right? Like the pull up that drives some people crazy in transition, but also just generally using the pull-up jumper as a part of his game. How can he improve there?
Yeah, I think there's enough trust in him as a player in the pick and roll or off a handoff or anything that's involving a screen. He's just that elite of a pull-up threat. Like when I think of Hero's biggest strengths, I think of his pull-up. I think of if they go under, he figured out that he's just going to shoot over the top immediately when they go under. If they go over, they have a 2-on-1. And that's where I think this ties into the Bam Hero conversation, which we talked on a recent pod about, but that's kind of the key here. If you can go into the Hero and Bam combo a little bit more, I think there's enough trust that that'll just work immediately. We also saw the next step of this where he was able to read backline defenses. When the guy from the corner would come down, he would be able to sling the ball across the court to the opposite corner and make skip passes and all this other stuff, which once again could translate to playoff basketball. But the issue is that the one counter that stopped him, Greg hit on it before, is the blitzing. Like, that's the one thing here is that I'm just not sold at this current stage that he can beat the blitz, because you have two defenders running at you right inside half court. They're just trying to eliminate you. Like, yes, you can make the pass and you can play, you know, 4-on-3 on the backside and they can recover. But when you're that elite of a scorer and you're going to be looked at as a big piece of this Heat team, you can't just be a decoy, I guess, at that point in the playoffs. When you get into that second round against Philly, like they just did, they were able to get past it this time, because Jimmy Butler was being elite Jimmy Butler. But I'm just not sure that they can get past that after this point. So I'll say that I think that's a very important piece of this. Like, when I say that, I mean, it doesn't mean he has to be an elite isolation player. But the only way for them to not have him get blitzed in those scenarios is to not call for the screen in the first place, for them to run offense, allow him to break down a defender a little bit more. Like, that's the one way to beat this. We had this conversation a lot early on in his career where we talked about, is there any way he can create separation? He kind of figured that out, especially this past season, the regular season. His way of kind of beating and finding separation was he was just going to shoot over the top of you, and he was not going to be affected on his jump shot. He was going to break you down, get into the mid-range, get into a step back, or just pull over the top of you. And that was his way of separation. It was vertical separation. If that works for him, that's fine. But then you're relying on that tough shot-making ability in the playoffs when it gets tough in the half court. So I guess when talking about specific improvements, being able to break down a defender, get into his pull-up a little bit tougher. And I do believe this ties into the rim pressure stuff, because if he's able to break down his defender, he's never going to be that athlete. I kind of said like a jaw where he's going to embrace contact and be able to finish at the rim after getting by that guy. But he can be good enough to something he's done a ton is going down baseline where he bumps and then kind of gets into that floater all the time. He loves bumping and kind of flowing into it. I think that's something he can utilize, which Alex touched on, kind of getting stronger. That's the big thing. If he could get stronger and use his body just slightly just to get that bump and find space, I think he can find ways to get past it. But I think there just has to be a more willingness in the regular season to kind of force him to kind of operate, I guess, without a screen to prepare for the postseason.
Alex, if I was to say you, which is more important for this Heat team in the role that we think Tyler's going to fill, which is starting two guard, which is not a role he's filled for the Heat other than a few games in the start of the second season. If I was to say he's in that lineup that we're anticipating, okay, you can throw Caleb at the four, or you could throw Jimmy at the four and start Max. Okay, so let's say either way, all right? What is more important for the Heat in that offense? Is it Tyler on the ball, isolations, drives to the basket, getting to the floater, getting to the pull-up, or is it some of the off-the-ball stuff we're going to talk about?
I think it's off the ball. So if we are going to talk about more of Tyler's off-ball stuff, because I know Brady got into that in his article as well, I'll save some of it. But I do think that's the more important part, because he's going to be playing in that starting lineup with those guys. I think he had such a nice role for him last season in the sense that it was all about him when he came into the game, right? Like he would come into the game and his role was very clear cut. It was just go in there, shot create, right? Most of the time it's going to be for yourself, but to be fair, he is a good playmaker for his position. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, a lot of the stats actually back that up when you compare him to other guys at his position. But I just think in general, it's stuff that he's already good at that he has to improve at. And he's already pretty good as an off-ball player. But I just think like him leveraging the real shooting threat that he has as a three-point shooter would be better for them, right? Like I think he needs to be someone who teams are going to be worried about as someone who will shoot off, you know, off the move all the time, kind of in a way that they like similar to what they did with Duncan and Max. Not that, you know, run that exact shot diet for him, but I just think it can all just be Tyler getting buckets and doing things where he has to create shots and hit tough shots. Like I love that part about him, right? Like somebody who can create and hit tough shots like that is great. And him being a professional bucket getter is great. He's a decent, pretty good passer. And I think him getting stronger will absolutely help with him getting contact, getting to the line a little bit more, hopefully on defense as well, ideally. But I do think him mixing in and really learning how to be valuable other than the types of possessions that he got last season is going to be really, really important for them. Like, I think they need him to be good as a cutter. They need him to be good as, you know, an off-ball shooting threat. And I think the rim pressure stuff is not just like breaking down somebody, right? Because of course that's huge. Like if he can just break down someone off the dribble one-on-one without using the screen, like Brady said, it can create advantages. Of course you know what happens from there, but I just think him being able to make fast-paced decisions and cuts and things like that also involve the rim pressure stuff, right? Like it's just kind of mixing in and filling those spots and hitting floaters on the go, hitting those teardrops on the go. Because I do think, like, if you're leveraging Tyler Hero's shooting threat properly, the way that they did with Duncan and Max, you should be able to create a lot of those same advantages. And Tyler is more dynamic. He has way more counters for when teams run him off the line, right? And I think that's why I was so disappointed with him in the playoffs, because teams were getting physical with him. They were running him off the line, and he really didn't react. So I think the pressure's on him now, but there's going to be some challenges to him being in the starting lineup as opposed to him having the cozy scoring role off the bench. So I think he's really got to mix it in off ball in order for them to maximize his role there.
All right. So let's pivot back to Brady here before we get to Greg. So the off ball stuff that we talk about, the catch and shoot stuff, tell me there, you know, build on a little of what Alex was talking about there about where that needs to go.
Yeah. He hit on a lot of the major stuff. I would say that for starters, he hit on the starting lineup thing, which ties into this thing, I think, fully. Like the fact that you're playing next to Kyle Lowry is going to be orchestrating a lot of this. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, everybody wants to get more touches with. There's only so much room for everybody to kind of operate that he's not going to be in the same role. He's not going to be able to kind of run the show and run pick and roll after pick and roll. But I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I think more diversity in his shot diet is kind of important. And I don't think it's just the starting lineup. I think we talked about the pod with Depot, Butler, and Hero lineups that they're going to have to get to that more. They just kind of have to at this point with the roster, the way it looked, the way it looked in the postseason, it kind of worked. But the only way when you go through the film of those three playing together was that it looked really good when everybody was moving. When it was this, as soon as Jimmy gets into iso ball and Depot and Hero are just kind of standing in the opposite side, just standing around, that's when everything shuts down and that's when everything becomes problematic. But when Tyler's moving around and he's kind of being put and he can kind of catch the ball and kind of flow downhill off of a handoff and run different sets for him, I think that stuff's important. I think he's a really underrated screener. I think there's a lot of opportunities there where he's able to hit these back cuts because he's just such a threat on the floor that if he can fake out like he's going to catch on the corner and then he flashes back door, that happens so many times this season because of the way that he's just such a threat. And something I hit on a ton recently is that I just really believe that the Heat are going to expand on their motion offense. Like, I think they're going to go heavier into just total movement in the half court than they have in just recent years, because I feel like this roster is built for it. More guards, that means you should, you know, leading offense, you want to move more because you just have more mobility in general. You don't have like a PJ Tucker who's kind of the guy that's standing around in the corner and can't really be moved around. If a Caleb Martin's plugged in here, he's somebody you can move around at least in different spots and allow to be athletic. So I think he can benefit from that. If he's somebody that's moving back door, flying around, he was saying, Alex just said on like the Duncan Strus type role, if he's able to shoot, he had a very good catch and shoot. Like, he just shot 42% in the regular season on spot up threes. Like, that is a very good number for him to be able to do that. If he can kind of carry that over to this season, which probably is realistic with the more threats with an Oladipo that could be playing, that's creating more rim pressure and kind of kicking out. Like, I think he'll have at least a decent amount of opportunities there, which should be a team with better spacing in theory when you look at it on paper. So it'll be interesting. I just feel like he hit on with the off ball being so important. And this is why it's important, because this is how everything will run. If he doesn't develop this type of kind of elite off ball scoring ability, which I will say there was a graph that went out on Twitter where he was, I don't have it on me or the number it was, but he was very high on just like off ball efficiency. I think it's more this year about volume. Like, I think we know he can do it because it's kind of easy backdoor layups or an open three because it's kind of chaos in the half court. But if they can find a strong like volume with it, that's going to open everything else up that we just talked about.
Alex, I'll let you close the loop on this part of it, because when we come back, I think, Greg, I want to have a sort of a more philosophical conversation with Greg here about this. But on the off-the-ball stuff, Alex, what else is there for you?
It's tough, man. I really do think it comes down to him just picking his spots and kind of And I do think it's going to be a challenge. And I also agree with Brady that it's going to be great for him, because I think it's just going to be a way for him to kind of fast track his own maturation process, right? I think getting put into that role that we all think he's getting put into as a starter, like you said, he's played it before. But I think there's, with this lineup now, with Lowry involved in this, I think he's not going to have the ball all the time, and he's going to have to fit in and, you know, try not to settle into his habits of just kind of creating his own shot, right? Because I think, like Brady has been hitting on, they need to be focused on moving, right? And although it's not always going to look great, right? Like, they're not going to be hitting on all cylinders from the beginning of the season, and they're not always going to be moving fast. I think that's going to be the goal, right? When you have so many guards like Brady was talking about. And in order for him to do that and really fit in, he's got to not slow down. And I think he's gonna have to adjust and really make decisions on the fly, right? And I think he's pretty good at that. I think he can get better. And I think since he's gonna be in a different role, that's gonna be a focus for him. So I think all of that is kind of all under the same umbrella of just making quicker decisions, whether the decision is to pass or whether it's to stop on a dime and shoot, whether it's to get to the rim. I think he's good at making reads in general based on what the defense does. I just think it's going to be more about that processing speed. And now that, you know, hopefully with that added weight, it can get some of that physicality off of him, because I just think he was not able to get any sort of leverage in the playoffs versus some of these more physical defenders who just had specialized game plans for him. And that's what happens versus the best players, right? Like, you're going to face great defenders in the playoffs, especially in the Eastern Conference. Like, I feel like most of the best defenses are in the East. And in general, this is part of Tyler's growth process, right? When you're a 21-year-old who is skinny and not like supremely athletic, doesn't have a a great wingspan or anything like that. Like there's going to have to be things you work around naturally. And I think his game is sort of tailored to that. So this role is going to be great for him. I think that's why they're going to put him in there, and not only to juice the offense, but because it'll get the best out of him eventually. I think he's going to have to stay there for a while. And I think by the time playoffs come around, he's going to be much more suited to the off-ball stuff that we were talking about right now.
All right. When we come back, Greg, I want to have just a conversation with you about something here, and kind of, we'll get to it in a second. We do want to tell you about one more sponsor. It's our gambling partner. This is not traditional gambling. This is peer-to-peer gambling. You can find the line that you want. You go to betteredge.com. It's BETTOR edge.com/5reasons. That's the number 5 and reasons. You get $20 to play. And again, Greg's had great success with this. Sean Rochester and others in our network have it all again, because the difference is, first, it's legal. And second, as I said, you can find the line you want on there and decide kind of what it's worth to you. And that's a totally different way to approach this. It's social betting. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons. Let me ask this question, Greg, because it plays off of what you talked about earlier. And I just want to close the episode with this. It strikes me that with Tyler, because we're focusing on things he can do better. And a lot of the things we talked about today, he's already doing reasonably well. Okay. Like, again, the pull-up jumper stuff, the catch and shoot stuff. He's a very good offensive player. I mean, you don't lead all bench guys in scoring, win sixth man of the year in a runaway, unless you're a good player. But why is it with Tyler, and this even comes from Heat fans, that the focus is always on the things he doesn't do instead of the things he does?
That's interesting. I think because there's something about getting picked on defense that fans lean into in a real, like, strong way. They get real passionate about when you see a guy get hunted. So Tyler has to make sure that doesn't happen. I don't know why the other negative things happen. Maybe it's because of the way he carries himself, et cetera. But to me, like, this is a weird scenario where you have such a good player that's doing nothing but ascending. He's so young that I said this before, like, dude's going to get an extension a week before camp, and it's going to be anticlimactic that they're locking up a really good. But this is the thing, like, going from good to great, like, this is where we're at. And, like, that's where he needs to get to, like, this good to great moment. They have a player that he has the tools. There's no doubt. So, like, it's just a matter of, can he do it fast enough? I don't know that the fans are ever going to not look at the other shiny toys around the league and say, like, I want one of those guys that dunks on people, or that has, you know, the wingspan that locks people down, and whatever other metric that we're going by, Raptor and whatever else is out there, you know, like, that drive people towards certain archetypes. But, you know, I think that they are in a position with him where if he can come out and play well and kind of establish that the playoffs was maybe more about health and less about him not reacting to the scenario in a favorable way, that will get the fans back on his side. Because when the arena's behind Tyler, they were behind him in a way that was really, like, only Dwayne had got them that excited. It had been a while since, like, those Tyler games, like that Philly game where he had the step back three and stuff like that. That electricity, I think, will come back this year once they see him play up to par.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? It's the Tua debate on the Heat side. Because when fans look around the league, and you talk about the shiny toys, wing scorers are the shiny toys in the modern NBA. And so it's kind of like the quarterback position, in the sense that if you have a guy that's good, that does certain things well, but is physically limited compared maybe to other players at that position, whether we're talking about Tua versus Herbert or Burrow or Mahomes or any of that stuff. And then you take a look at Tyler versus, say, again, a Donovan Mitchell or other guys at that spot. Okay. Even though Tyler's numbers in his third season were better than Donovan's numbers in his third season. Okay. It's almost like once you pick one and you commit to one, which the Heat are going to do now, which the Dolphins have somewhat done to Tua, then you can't have the other one, right? Like, even though in basketball you can't actually play two wing scorers at the same time, you can't play two quarterbacks at the same time necessarily. Steve Spurrier probably would have tried it. That to me is where this debate comes in, is that I think Heat fans like Tyler, but they kind of don't want to be married to Tyler. They sort of want to date Tyler until they can go find the one that they want to marry. They want to marry Bradley Beal or Donovan Mitchell or one of those guys.
Amazing.
Basically giving Tyler that money cuts that off. And I think that's where the negativity comes in here. It's like, yeah, he's good, but he's never going to be that.
Yeah, right? The worst.
We shall see. He said he ain't the one. We shall see.
We shall see.
No. I was going along with Ethan's analogy of like, oh, you know, he's good, but he ain't the one. Like, he's not
right.
The one.
Well, I think that's the perception out there. And so what we're talking about here, you know, I don't know that Tyler, say, becoming more efficient even than he was last season and doing it in this role, and maybe his points per game go down a little bit because, again, he's not running the whole bench by himself and he's got to defer to others. I don't know what it is that's going to satisfy people who say, as Alex said, that he is the one. But I do think the thing that's promising here from what Brady covered in the article is that there are things he's already good at that he can get better at. And so I think that's where the incremental growth is going to come in here. I do think we're going to see it, because I just think his IQ as a basketball player, as an offensive basketball player, is really elite. And that's why he's able to do some of the things he does. And so if they give him a very simple list to work on this offseason, I think he'll come back stronger. All right, I do want to thank everybody.
But is he as good as Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? That's the question.
All right, we'll go to the two of you tonight. Prize Picks, use the code 5, FIVE. Get your initials deposit match up to $100. BetterEdge.com/5reasons. Mark Brown, PA.com. He's going to be my new co-host next week. No, just check him out for your estate planning and also for your closings. And who's the other one? Oh, Therapist Preferred. Use the code 5RSN. Again, check out the Jimmy Butler episode. We're reposting it. So make sure you catch what we call the re-release. It's right there on the title.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.